Mr. President, I am pleased to present to you Ronald White, Jr., for the conferral of the degree of Doctor of Humane Letters, honoris causa. Ronald White, Jr. is a graduate of UCLA and Princeton Theological Seminary. He earned his PhD in religion and history from Princeton University. He has taught at UCLA, at Princeton Theological Seminary, here at Whitworth University, where he also served as chaplain, at Colorado College and at San Francisco Theological Seminary, where he served as dean and professor of American religious history. He is now a fellow at the Huntington Library and a visiting professor of history at UCLA. Ron's roots are in the church. In his early days in academia, while futurist Ed Lindemann was Whitworth's president, Ron served as chair and associate professor of the university's religion department. In his accompanying role as Whitworth's chaplain, he was a great friend of and advocate for students, and he played a key role in bringing the building of Seeley Mudd Chapel to fruition. Following his time at Whitworth, Ron worked at Princeton, where he directed continuing studies and taught part-time. During his years at Princeton, he emerged as a church historian of notable reputation. Eventually, he moved on to Fuller Theological Seminary in UCLA. He then served as dean and vice president for academic affairs at San Francisco Theological Seminary. Eventually, Ron discovered his calling as a historian and biographer of Abraham Lincoln. He studied the evidence of Lincoln's religious convictions and their influence on his presidency. And his insights in this area and in the area of Lincoln's oratorical process and impact led to Ron's acclaimed debut on the national scene with his 2002 book, Lincoln's Greatest Speech, the Second Inaugural. The book went on to become a New York Times notable book for 2002 and a Washington Post and San Francisco Chronicle bestseller. In 2005, Ron published The Eloquent President, a portrait of Lincoln through his words, a Los Angeles Times bestseller and a selection of the History Book Club and the Book of the Month Club, which advertises the book as one unlike any other you have read about your 16th president. Earlier this year, Random House published Ron's A Lincoln, a biography. This presidential biography is a New York Times, Washington Post, and Los Angeles Times bestseller and was the main selection of the History Book Club. In its review of A Lincoln, a biography, the Wall Street Journal said, "Facts might win men's minds, their hearts are another matter." White argues against the common policy of pigeonholing Lincoln as merely an Enlightenment deist. Lincoln's Meditation on the Divine Will, a memo written after the carnage in the summer of 1862 and discovered only after Lincoln's death, shows a man grappling to find divine purpose in the Civil War's violence. Somewhere between the lawyer's brief of the first inaugural address and the soaring biblical cadences of the second, Lincoln discovered that a blend of reason and faith was more likely to persuade his listeners than reason alone. As a result of his rigorous scholarship, his thoughtful explorations on the convergence of faith and reason, and his deft and graceful writing, Ron has lectured at the White House as well as at hundreds of universities, civic organizations, and conventions. He has also been interviewed by national publications and news programs, including The NewsHour with Jim Lehrer. So in a turbulent era in America, a time that may be as unsettled as it is unsettling as any time in our history, it is fitting and essential to look back to an earlier era and to a president who fought his own personal battles as he looked to and worked for a better future for America and for the world. Through his passion for history, his diligent work, and his prodigious talent, Ron White has brought Lincoln's era, his melding of faith and reason, his enormous strengths and profound weaknesses to the forefront of American letters. In doing so, he has established himself as one of America's foremost biographers and students of history. We at Whitworth are privileged and pleased to present Ron White, Jr. this degree of Doctor of Humane Letters, honoris causa.
It is with great pleasure that I say, by virtue of the authority vested in me by the Board of Trustees and the State of Washington, I do hereby confer upon Ron White, a great friend of Whitworth's and a great friend of mine, the degree Doctor of Humane Letters, honoris causa, with all the rights and honors appertaining thereto. Congratulations, Ron.
Leo Tolstoy, celebrated Russian author of War and Peace and Anna Karenina, traveled in the last year of his life to the Caucasus Mountains as the guest of a Caucasian chief. As Tolstoy described the scene, the fingers of civilization had never reached him, nor his tribe. The chief gathered his neighbors to hear Tolstoy tell them of the inventions and industries of the modern world. They wanted to know every detail of the life of Napoleon. When Tolstoy finished, the chief lifted his hand. "But you have not told us a syllable about the greatest general and the greatest ruler of the world. He was a hero. He spoke with a voice of thunder. He laughed like the sunrise, and his deeds were as strong as rock and as sweet as the fragrance of roses. He was so great that he even forgave the crimes of his enemies. His name was Lincoln, and the country in which he lived is called America, which is so far away that if a youth should journey to reach it, he would be an old man when he arrived. Tell us of that man." Graduates of 2009, in your years at Whitworth, you have been introduced to the lives of marvelous men and women of history. You've studied their ideas. In learning about the choices that they made, you've faced up to the choices that you will be asked to make as you live your lives. When I first came to Whitworth as a young assistant professor, just 2 years out of graduate school, I was invited in my very first semester to teach in Core 150, the introductory course on the Judeo-Christian tradition. Dr. Clarence Simpson was on the Core 150 teaching team. I quickly realized that giants walked the campus in the presence of Professor Simpson and Fenton Duval. I don't need to tell you that giants still walk the campus today. Over the next years, I would learn so many life lessons here at Whitworth. But may I share with you this afternoon just one lesson? In Core 150, I initially thought that I was teaching about Martin Luther or Martin Luther King Jr., Teresa of Avila or Flannery O'Connor. I was teaching about names or subjects in history books. The transformative truth that I learned was that these men and women could become companions in the choices we would make in the journey of life. As you commence the next chapter of your lives, may I offer you this afternoon a companion for the journey, Abraham Lincoln. In 2009, Americans all across the nation are celebrating the life of this tall, gangly man, for this is the year of the bicentennial of the birth of our most respected president. The admiration of Lincoln, I've discovered, does not stop at our borders. In April, I was privileged to lecture in Italy and Germany to Europeans eager to learn more about Lincoln. Now, I discovered, especially for university students, that part of their interest comes from the bright light shone on Lincoln by President Barack Obama. But I was told by young and old alike that Lincoln for them embodies the best values of what it means to be an American. Whitworth graduates, Lincoln liked to speak of what he called the American value of the right to rise. He hated slavery because it denied the right to rise to African Americans. We salute you today because through your hard work, you carry on this tradition of the right to rise. This afternoon, may I imagine with you what Lincoln might say by way of encouragement as you enter the next chapter of your lives. First, I believe Lincoln would summon you to commit yourself to be self-directed in your continuing education. The young Lincoln received less than 1 year of formal education. But a key to Lincoln's remarkable life story was his own passion for his continuing education. After his single term in Congress, he returned to Illinois, believing he may never be elected again to political office because he had opposed the United States war with Mexico. Resuming his career as a lawyer, Lincoln bought himself Euclid's Geometric Theorems. I can picture Lincoln traveling the dusty back roads of Illinois' 8th Judicial Circuit, at night in crowded hotel rooms. Lincoln's hotel roommates found him near midnight reading Euclid by candlelight. When asked by fellow lawyers what in the world he was doing, he answered he needed to teach himself to think and write in a more reasoned way. Whitworth has provided you a remarkable education, but like the building of a house, it's only the foundation. You are graduating into one of the most tumultuous times in recent American history. You will be faced with ethical choices about how to live your life. Up until this moment, your education has been largely directed by an outstanding faculty. They have helped you to find your own voices. These teachers have not only taught you in the classroom, but offered themselves to you as mentors and friends, often inviting you into their homes. Up to now, you have been directed. The challenge is that in the future, you will need to be self-directed in the continuing education of your lives. Second, Lincoln would say to you, travel with a passion for words. There's a modern shibboleth. It's only words. Words are becoming devalued in our society. Shortcuts with words subtract the meaning and the purpose of language. President John F. Kennedy, in the opening months of his administration, would often return memos to members of his staff with a handwritten note at the top, "When you write this in English, I will be pleased to read it." We've become cynical about the words of our politicians, whereas in Lincoln's day he was celebrated as an orator. Think of the way Barack Obama's opponents, both Democratic and Republican, tried to discredit him in the recent election. He is only an orator. The sentence, "It's only words," is usually completed with "as opposed to actions." Lincoln would want all of us to know that words are actions. Lincoln grew as a writer by the practice of taking little slips of paper, sometimes the back of the flap of an envelope, and writing out his thoughts on books he read, or simply his broodings or reflections on the great issues of the day: slavery, the birth of the Republican Party, the prospects for war and peace. Words are the way you and I define ourselves. How will you grow as a writer? Writing is a lifelong craft, like painting or jogging or playing a musical instrument. You will get better with words the more you use them. Third, the largely untold story of Lincoln's faith journey, he points beyond himself to the God he called the Almighty. In Lincoln's second inaugural address, many of us have seen it, etched in Indiana limestone in the Lincoln Memorial, Lincoln affirms the Almighty has his own purposes. Whitworth has pointed you beyond yourself to that Word become flesh, who, full of grace and truth, promises to be with you throughout your journey of life. It was 30 years ago that the Seeley G. Mudd Chapel was designed and built and dedicated, and we wanted it very much to be an enterprise in which everyone was involved, And so students' groups thought about what would they want that chapel to look like. And in the center of the center, the students decided what would the words, the names for God be. Dietrich Bonhoeffer asked the question, and who is God for us today? And those students of an earlier generation came up with four names for God. I love it to walk through that chapel and see those names each time I return to the campus. King, Friend, Lord, Servant. Several years ago, I joined a group of Presbyterians for dinner on a Saturday evening prior to speaking at their Sunday morning services. At the close of the meal, the associate pastor asked if, in addition to delivering the sermon, I would be willing to bring the children's message. Sure, I could do that. The next morning, as we prepared to enter the sanctuary, she whispered to me, "You have not forgotten that you are giving the children's message this morning." I had forgotten. Terror paralyzed my steps as I walked into the chancel. I mouthed the words of the opening hymns and songs as I thought, what in the world will I say to these children? Before I knew it, little girls in their pretty dresses, little boys not able to keep their hands to themselves, paraded up to the front steps of the sanctuary. On the spot, I decided to paint a picture for the children of President Lincoln at worship at the New York Avenue Presbyterian Church in Washington. A newspaper reporter sitting in the balcony reported on what he saw. When the minister invited the congregation to pray, while almost everyone bowed their heads, Lincoln stood up. The president remained standing for the entire prayer. I told the children that the reporter later asked Mr. Lincoln why he stood for prayer. Lincoln replied that for him this was his way of showing respect to the God he always called the Almighty. My terror having subsided, I prayed and dismissed the children to their children's church. When the service was over, I was greeting parishioners who were coming forward, and all of a sudden this woman came rushing up to me and identified herself as a Sunday school teacher. She said, "I would never guess what happened when she took the children's back for children's church." She said, "This morning, children, we're going to talk about prayer." And the children responded in loud voices, "Let's stand up! Let's stand up!" On this commencement day, I say to the graduates, let's stand up. We who honor you want to stand with you as we express our appreciation and love. As you face towards the future, I invite you to consider a traveling companion who speaks across time to remind all of us that the Almighty has His own purposes. Let's stand up.